Seventh podcast from East Meets West. My name is Ludo Swinne. I am one of the co-founders of East Meets West together with my friend Pavel Schubert. And we have now this whole series of podcasts. For those who don't know why we do this, just a small explanation. We from East Meets West, we often meet a lot of people. We are confronted with ideas, initiatives, actions. And too often we had the impression that these actions should have more space, should have more publicity, should have a stage where they can present themselves, which is not always the case. So therefore, we have these podcasts. There have been many different topics, and today we are happy to have with us. We talk about a quite important organization that we know already. We know it for many years. It's a very dynamic organization, and the name is my guest will say it clearly. Znaki Rovnosti, which means in English signs of equality. Clearly, we got to know them as a very active group. But if you never heard of them, and I can imagine that's what we are here. We have today with us one of the drivers of Znaki Rovnosti, but he will say how it is pronounced. We have with us Mateusz Kecsba.
Hello.
Well, it's the right direction. So, Mateusz, welcome to East Meets West. Welcome to the podcast. And the first question I will ask you, how do you pronounce your action group, your organization, and your name?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for having me. And actually, as to the pronunciation of the name of this group, it's Federacja Znaki Równości, which means Signs of Equality Federation. So it's not that difficult. I think my name is a bit more challenging, though.
Yeah, Mateusz is okay, but...
Yeah, so far so good, yeah. But Kecsba, believe me, it's not easy even for Poles.
Does it mean something, or is it just a...
Well, you know what? I got to know in my secondary school that there is this old novel written in very old-fashioned Polish, and over there is this name Kecsba, which refers to a musical instrument which was used like very long time ago. Okay. And then actually I got to know that it meant something, you know, because till that time I thought that this was just a simple, you know, family name.
Well, nice to know. Anyway, I will keep it to Mateusz. And the organization, it will be Znaki, okay?
That's right, okay.
That's easier to talk about, okay. Okay. So let's start with the obvious question. Please introduce to us Znaki Rovnosti, what it is, what are the key objectives, what are you? Because I think not many people know you. What I should tell you, and the people should already know it, we are in Poland today, yeah?
That's right, we are in Krakow.
In Krakow.
Which is the second largest city of Poland, not the capital, because the capital is Warsaw. But still many people, you know, in Poland remember that Krakow was capital a long time ago. And still some people in Krakow claim that this is the real center of culture, history, education, and, you know, things like this. And actually, as to our group, we are an umbrella type of organization. That's why the name is Federation, and actually that gathers 9 different foundations and associations working for LGBT community, both in our region and actually in the region which is neighboring us, which name is Silesia or Śląsk or Schlesien, I guess, it's the name in German. So our purpose, actually, the first and the most important, is to empower LGBT plus community in our region and to give them a safe space and actually the place where they can both profit from the various support services and where they can also develop themselves and where they can work also for the others. So roughly speaking, our main and actually the most important project is the community center called DOM EQ. Actually, DOM in Polish, that stands for house or home, to be more precise. And EQ, these are two first letters of equality. So this is house of equality. This is how we call it. Mm.
And what is the main vision, mission of the group that you're in, of Znaki?
Well, our mission, we focus on three areas. The first one is actually the service, the support for the local community, which includes both psychological support, legal support, that also includes cultural activities and social ones, so social gatherings, meetings. Well, the center which we operate was a really very nice place before pandemic. It looked a bit like a railway station, you know, because there were so many people coming and going. Now it's a bit empty railway station. However, still we are trying, you know, to organize like some very micro events. Mm-hmm. Or we are currently reorienting into so-called hybrid meetings. So the meetings which take place. Yeah. Partly in real life and partly remotely, which is on one hand, it's a bit challenging because, you know, a lot of people are just tired with remote events.
No.
And well, this is what we all feel after, let's say, working remotely all the time. But on the other hand, this is also a big opportunity for all of us. Imagine what happens, for example, in Poland, but I'm sure not just in Poland, is that the accessibility of this kind of events is just growing. And now we are opened also for participants who live, let's say, 150 or 200 kilometers from us. Who live in tiny little villages or mid-sized towns who would never get occasion, you know, to visit the center, or even if they had such an occasion, that could be quite complicated for them. Mm-hmm. And now this is just click, and that's it, right? So I see, you know, this pandemic reality a bit like a challenge, but at the same time as the good reason to change our way of operation. So as a community, this is actually the first area of our activity and first goal. The second goal is supporting our member organizations. As I mentioned, we are umbrella type organization. We've got 9 members, and they focus on many different areas. So there is, for example, an organization which is focused on HIV prevention and testing. Another one, which is called Bears of Poland, so the Association of Bears. There is also a group called Faith and Rainbow, which is a foundation of LGBT plus Christian. And there is also an organization called Foundation for, let's say, Culture for Tolerance, that's the name. And actually, this is the foundation which supports the permanent drag queen group working in Krakow and performing every month, you know.
So this is to have a drag queen group in Krakow.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, we do. And they perform every month, you know. They have a theater, or actually they use a theater which is in Kazimierz, the Jewish district. It's a bit like Josefov in Prague. And actually they are magnificent, you know. They started, God, that was like 4 or 5 years ago, you know. And to be perfectly honest with you, when I firstly got to know about them, I wasn't really an activist. I just, you know, saw the posters somewhere in the city. Yeah. And together with my boyfriend, we decided to go there. But, you know, we were very critical, you know, before we even saw the show, you know. And we were like, okay, let's give them like roughly 40 minutes and later we will go for a drink. Surely it's going to be pathetic. And, you know, it wasn't. It was surprisingly good. Well, wasn't perfect, obviously, but it was surprisingly good. And I can say that actually since that time they have been developing, and actually they are better and better. The good, well, they had a very good leader and manager who unfortunately passed away 1 year ago, who was incredible guy, because imagine this was a personality. The guy, imagine he was working in event industry. a long time before anybody dared to call it event industry. And actually, he set up an event organizing company in early 1990s in Krakow. And that time, nobody could imagine that this can be a business, you know. The funny thing is that he was organizing the New Year's Eve parties in the Forum Hotel, which that time was like one of the best ones in the city, and he was actually making very good money. Progressively, he was switching also to show business, and actually he became a manager of one of quite known actresses. And actually, sometime later, he started the drag queen group. And you know what? I remember I talked to him and he told me something like this. At the very beginning, when I started to do this, everybody who I knew was asking me a question if I was insane, you know, that this idea was just ridiculous. And this idea could not take place in Poland. Whereas actually Henryk was the guy who was actually who said, I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to do that and I'm going to make that work. And that worked. And actually the project survived him. And actually, now it's growing. It's active and it's still, you know, attracting quite a lot of people here.
Mateusz, you surprised me. I mean, I expected a lot of things in Poland, but this activity not, and it makes me very happy because somehow it breaks the negative image that Poland has in the worldwide LGBTI community. And we talk about it later, but this is something. At the same time, it also shows again, and we say that very often, you don't need 100 people to change something. One or two with a drive can do it, and that's a nice
thing.
I'm happy that you shared it with me. Yeah, really, this is really great news. I should really go back to Krakow and go once for...
Feel invited.
It is not bad. If the COVID is better, it would be a good idea to do it because I was there before. I have great memories of it. And now I couldn't have more time. So it would be a good idea. I will put it down and then I come back to you when they have
Absolutely. You know what? Once thinking about what you already mentioned, the organization or starting the things, I remember actually two important, you know, quotations or two important people who really changed a lot in this country. First of them was actually Piotr Skrzynecki. This was the guy who was a leader of some sort of cabaret, artistic cabaret, which was working here in 80s, you know. 80s, this was the time when Krakow was a miserable place, you know. Everything was gray and the only difference was if this or that building was pale gray or dark gray, right? And that was pretty much it. And actually, at that time, Skrzynecki said one very important thing. Let's enjoy ourselves, because if we do not enjoy ourselves, nobody's going to do that instead of us, right? And he actually was the guy just like Henryk was. Let's do it. Let's organize it, because if we don't do it, nobody's going to do that instead. Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's the first quotation, and actually the second quotation, which I also remember, this was the guy whose name is actually very known in Poland. He was the Minister of Social Affairs in early 90s, and he said one thing. When, you know, people were very anti-communist and, you know, there were big tensions and they were fighting with communists for a long time, he said something like this: don't go and don't destroy their committees, make your own ones, and through your own committees change the world, you know. And this is actually what I truly believe in and what I do remember.
Very wise words. It's interesting to hear. So another question I have is that you are not located in Warsaw. Normally when we meet people and NGOs, they're always located in the capital city for many reasons. You are located in a big city, Krakow, that's true. But is there a difference if you are being an activist in Warsaw? Or an activist in Krakow, is there a difference in activism and style?
Definitely there is. You know, in Warsaw, first of all, you are some sort of front activist. I mean, you are always more visible. people more talk about you. There is much more, let's say, promotion or however you call it, more visibility. But at the same time, you know, as I look at my friends who are the activists over there, it's much more challenging. You know, there is much more pressure on you. And actually, I see that, well, especially nowadays, they have to face the situations which are much more difficult, you know, than we do here. Krakow, in a way, is a city which is slower than Warsaw, that's for sure. And actually, even if there are tensions, they are not as intense or they are not as big as in Warsaw, you know. So even if we have like demonstrations and, you know, some things connected with police, it's not as violent or it's not as wild as it happens in Warsaw.
Great. I mean, I can imagine that I worked in Warsaw, and it is a big city, a very business-like city, fast city. I can imagine that Krakow is somewhere a little bit, let's say, easier, slowing down a little bit. But that is the advantage, that people take the time to think and to move, which is quite different, I know. Now, coming back to, because you gave a nice and a surprising view on what is possible in Poland for our community. But as I said, Poland has built up in the last years a very negative international image about being gay, being lesbian, being transgender in Poland. Yeah, and then of course we immediately go to this anti-LGBTI political views that there are, I think also somewhere coming from the church, I don't know, but you had this terrible thing, these LGBT free zones that you have in a big part of Poland that are there instituted by villages, by whatever, all these things. My question is, this is where does this, I would even say, violent attitude towards our community in Poland coming from?
Well, you know what, it's a longer story, but to make it short and digestible, I think the main reason is our emancipation. I mean, we are more and more visible. We demand, you know, we want our rights. We start to shout and scream in public space, not just, you know, to talk. And this is something what many people do not like. And actually, this is the reason of this aggression. But the other thing is that, you know what, the party which ruled before was very focused on development of economy, infrastructure, absorbing European funds, and so on and so forth. And, you know, they achieved a lot, it's true. But my impression is that while building all these motorways and, you know, bridges and all these sewage systems and power plants and whatever you want, they forgot about the people who were supposed to use them. So now what we are actually facing is a quite violent modernization of the society. So that means that the mentality of people here is changing rapidly. And the rapid changes always provoke tensions and always provoke fear. And my impression is that actually the rulers, or the, let's say, the ruling party, mm-hmm. is under constant fear, which is getting higher and higher. And actually, the more fear, the more aggression. This is what I think actually is the reason of it.
Because I was surprised at two things that I saw when I saw it on TV, I think in documentaries, two things. One was an official from the government who said that I rather have the communist back than that the gays will stay here. So, I mean, it's a very strange thinking, but I said to myself, what is he saying? And another one was, I think, a mayor of a smaller city or a smaller village. And he said, look, we want to have this here because the European Union can say, we don't give you money for a new road, and we take the old road full of potholes for 100 years, but I don't want these people here. And I was shocked by this aggression, because we all know people that don't like our lifestyle, that don't like it, they don't understand it. And this is something that we know, we are a minority, but they are not so violent. I mean, they don't have this hatred towards us. And this was something that shocked me, that I said to myself, if you have to change the view of these people, the perception of these people of our community, that is going to be very tough to make this change.
It's true. It's definitely true. But you know what? The thing, for example, with these resolutions about the LGBT free zones, yeah, it's something really complicated. But again, to make it short, whole story started more or less in Gdańsk, I would say, and that started sometime before first resolution was actually adopted. Mm-hmm. Gdańsk is a fabulous city, which actually is very modern, and not modern just in terms of infrastructure, but also in terms of management and, you know, thinking about the urban community. Yeah. So they were the first ones who started the discussion about the, let's say, anti-discrimination policies in public space. Mm-hmm. And what they developed was so-called a model for equal treatment. The model for equal treatment, this was quite detailed mechanism of cooperation in between the citizens and the local government. And actually that was developing through very painful and very long-lasting consultations. But progressively they managed, you know, to get to some sort of framework. At the same time, Warsaw tried to do also something, let's say, visible and also something appreciated. And they just hurried up. And in fact, in my opinion, they didn't do the right thing. They imposed a declaration, because this was a declaration of the mayor of Warsaw,
yeah,
which was, again, about exactly the same topic. So fight against the discrimination and actually, you know, being friendly for the minorities. But the problem was that actually it wasn't consulted, the process was too short, and actually it was just imposed by the mayor. It wasn't voted, it wasn't consulted. There was no this long-lasting, painful process around it. The problem was that this declaration, you know, as the declaration of a mayor of the largest city, mm-hmm, and the capital city, started to get, you know, on the news everywhere. And actually then the local government of many different communities, cities and regions started to vote, in fact, something contrary, yeah, to what the mayor of Warsaw said. And then all these ideas about the LGBT-free zones appeared. And actually what's quite important, the rhetoric behind that is very tricky. Because many of these resolutions, not all of them, but many of these resolutions use the expression LGBT ideology free zones. And the question appears like, what is LGBT ideology? To be honest with you, I'm an LGBT activist and I have no idea whatsoever what this ideology is about. I mean, is there any ideologist? Haven't heard of this person. Is there any, I don't know, maybe book or maybe memorial or maybe whatever, you know, what you think once you think about ideology? No, there is nothing like this. Why the question appears, so why this word ideology is used over there? Well, it's very simple. If you let's say discriminate against somebody, or if you say something very negative about somebody in the public space and you point this person, then this person can challenge you in the court, right? So can go to the court and, yes, can say that I want a financial compensation, for example. But once you use this tricky rhetoric figure, ideology, then nobody can challenge you in the court, because you don't talk about the people. At least this is what many of them claim. You talk about ideology, whatever this ideology is, right? And this is actually one of these really sad manipulations which appeared and which were used just to do two things at the same time. On one hand, to use the stigma right? And to, let's say, to talk certain things to the people who support certain stances. And on the other hand, to be completely, you know, without any negative legal consequences whatsoever, because you don't talk about the people, you don't mention the name of this or that person, right? Even if you think so.
So there's much more about this, because we as outsiders, we hear this, we see this little thing, and we are shocked. I was shocked the first time when I heard it. But of course, when I get you now this on-site explanation, what you normally do in these podcasts, make things clearer. If there are other things that make it more clear for us that it's not so extreme, that there is a political game behind it, probably also religious game behind it. And as such, you must look at it in a more relative way, I think. But of course, you still are. I think Poland is an EU country. Yeah? That also is something.
Let's hope it will stay.
Yeah, you are an EU country. So many people say also, which I understand, there is something that doesn't fit. Yeah, European Union is there economically, but you also have certain values. I think it's clear that discrimination is not part of it. But somehow you do things other EU countries in the East also do the same. So this is something where we see do you feel that you stand alone as activists? Are you supported by the EU? I just want to mention one thing. I think yesterday the European Parliament voted this resolution saying that the whole EU is now an LGBTIQ freedom zone, certainly linked to what's happened in Poland. Does that help you, this kind of activities?
Well, it does. Actually, such signs of international support are really very important. And actually, to be perfectly honest, fighting against discrimination in the EU is very important, because this sort of discrimination or this sort of discriminatory rhetoric can appear anywhere. That appeared in Poland, but we have to know that it did not start here. The first resolutions of this kind were actually voted long time before in Russia, in the region of Arkhangelsk, and later on in other regions. And later they turned into federal law, which was against so-called homosexual propaganda, right?
In Russia, yes, absolutely.
Exactly. So what happened was that this idea, in fact, was copy-pasted by certain people and was used for very similar purposes.
Yeah.
What's more, it's really frightening to notice, but I learned some time ago that also there was a community somewhere in Hungary which appeared quite similar resolution. So what I want to say is that certain concepts, they circulate, and they are actually used by certain organizations as some sort of copy-paste template.
Mm-hmm.
And the goals are usually or similar or even sometimes the same. So once you fight against discrimination in Poland, you also fight against discrimination anywhere else in European Union.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you fail to do it in Poland, that will spread. And the problem is that it will spread even quicker than we can imagine.
I can imagine that, yeah. Okay, this is good to know, because sometimes you think the EU talks a lot, but they don't have any influence. But if you come then with you and you talk about it, it is a valid tool that you get from them and support, which I think is also very important to know that this has really efficiency towards our community. You also know that... I don't know if they say it in Dutch, where my native language is Dutch, they say cooking costs money. Eh? It means that if you do things, you have to have funds for it. In a country like Poland, where do you get funding? Because
it requires a lot of creativity, you know. First of all, I can tell you where we do not get any money from the public sector. I mean, this is, let's say, quite easy, because if you get to any resources for fundraisers and you see, for example, usually there are such lists that there is this option, that option, or another option, you see, you just go through this list very easily and you see that if there is any public entity, anything related to the government, then you just strike it off. You don't even waste your time for this or that tender or competition. because, you know, whatever you suggest, you can even invent a COVID vaccination or whatever, you will not get any funding whatsoever on it because you are LGBT plus, right? The only exception, which, well, there are some exceptions, of course. In my organization, the only exception is the city council or city government of Krakow. They are really good with us. And I can tell you, sometimes I'm really even surprised how friendly they can be, you know. They are supportive. They gave us some money, not really big amounts, but some money. And I see quite nice, let's say, perspectives of the future cooperation. As regards other resources, we are very, very grateful, for example, to international organizations such as All Out. Mm-hmm. Thanks to them, you know, we survived the year 2020, and actually we didn't really have big issues with paying rent and, you know, running the city, the community center, because actually they started a very successful campaign and they granted us financial support, thanks to which we just could make it, right? We are also quite active in, if we talk about the private sector. So we cooperate a lot with international companies who have their offices in Krakow. Mm-hmm. And we try to do some sort of exchange. I mean, exchange our experience and exchange our knowledge for their resources. So, for example, we organized the trainings about LGBT plus community, about anti-discrimination, about many different things connected to this area. And at the same time, we gain their support. And that's very important for us. We also try whichever, let's say, crowdfunding tool which you can imagine. So we've got a tool called Patronite, which is quite popular in Poland. But this one is actually used normally by journalists. We use that too. We use also other tools because actually the more tools, the more options, right? And to be honest with you, of course, it's not easy. It requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of creativity. But at the same time, I'm certain that it will strengthen our organization. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? In 2015, one thing was very sad, that when the government changed, certain fundings for certain organizations were just cut off immediately. And certain organizations just, you know, terminated their actions because of that. But some of these organizations managed to survive, right? And this is an important lesson. Once you do something, first of all, you cannot rely on the support from one source. That's mm-hmm. absolutely, you know, the most important thing. Second of all, you have to get used to one thing. Your head is just a ticking clock, and you've got this ticking clock, whatever amount of money you get from any kind of donor or supporter, you know, you always have to think 2 years ahead, even 3 years ahead, and think that your support is not going to be there forever. You have to keep exploring, keep finding, keep, you know, making relations to different organizations and people, because this is the only way to survive.
I fully understand. I think what you tell now, what you showed, is a kind of clever funding that you do. You use the funding, you use everything, you fight for the funding, because what I also see in organizations that have a lot of money, they get lazy, very lazy.
True, true.
Because they don't, you need this drive of fighting for every minute, for every piece, and then you move forward. I think this is a very nice example of clever funding and of being aware of it. It has risks, but it makes you very dynamic in what you do, because you know it can change every day, so watch out, let's see what we can do. Now, coming to the last point that I have here on my list is, I suppose that being a relatively big organization with your different the parts of it, and having a not easy country to work in, you have a lot of plans. What are, let's say, of all the plans you have, What are the most important plans here for 2021, 2022 perhaps? What is planned for your organization?
You know what? Our main goal is to strengthen our human capital, because we already have infrastructure. I mean, we've got the center. We've got some visibility. It's still not very big, but we have some. And we have experts. And these experts do their really great job. But at the same time, we want to keep these experts with us, and we want to start, you know, compensating them at least some of their efforts. So this is actually our idea for the next year, and actually this year, that we have to keep, let's say, forming new experts, and at the same time keep the relation with the existing ones, because without them we are nothing. Without them we are just a piece of house, and that's
absolutely it. Yeah. You don't have to understand it fully, and this is something I think that we all have to do. Be professional, have people that know what they talk about, because your credibility depends on them. You exactly. are more, the time that you stand as an organization with your hand open, give us money because we are poor, that is past. Now you exactly. go in the front door and you say, we have this and this and this, we talk about this and this. That is the reason why you should support us. I think this is what you have to do. And I think I'm very happy to hear that, because believe me, losers never win. And in this case, you come in as a winner. That's very important. I think, Mateusz, what you told us in this podcast is really what I wanted to know. You taught me a lot of things that I didn't know, and I'm very active in all these things, I must say. I see that there are a lot of things happening underground that give this, for instance, this LGBT zones. There is more to it than what you should think on the first sight. I'm very happy to see that you have a very active, dynamic LGBT community, that you're still fighting, that you're going forward. I love the idea of Polish drag queens. This is something I will never forget. It will be great. I just want
you to should
see
come over and see them, you know.
This is something that I probably have to plan when COVID is past, that I go to Krakow when the drag queens are there, because I mean, I'm always afraid of them, but I want to see Polish drag queens. That is so out of a place. This gives me a total view, a new view on Poland. And this also shows somehow that there is much hope there. Many young people that think differently, that don't follow. And I think that is what you should work for. Yeah. I think thank you very much, Mateusz, for sharing this all with us. I'm very happy that we had this talk, and I think that our friends that are listening and looking at this will have the same reaction. This is a recording that they will see, so they cannot chat with you, they cannot ask questions. But if they have questions, if they have things they want to discuss with you, they can always come to us or to you.
Absolutely.
And you will get these reactions. And sometimes you get out of these podcasts links that can help you a lot, because we are there to support each other mutually. I can tell you that we from East Meets West, we keep supporting our Central Eastern European being groups.
We do appreciate this relation which we have with you. It's really important. And you know what? One thing came to my mind, because we were talking that at the very end there should be something funny.
Yeah.
So actually, talking about the drag queen.
Things with Polish people, between us. Oh, I mean, honestly, I had phenomenal discussions. I also worked for a time for KBC, and then I was working at Varta.
Varta, the internet company.
And then it was always the same. They always thought, like, are you entitled to talk to us? Does KBC have the majority? Do you have papers that say that we can follow you? I mean, oh my God. But in the evening, it was always fun. And I must say one thing, Krakow, I was two times in Krakow. I love Krakow. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's a bit like small Prague, you know? It's like half of Prague.
You have this beautiful square, and then you have the big castle there with the beautiful Flemish...
So empty nowadays.
The beautiful Flemish thing, the tapestries.
I
was there twice, but I still remember sitting in the square with the students there everywhere. It's just beautiful.